Right. Good morning, everybody. Today is Monday, November 7th, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup with Jules here on UCY.TV. Happy Monday, everyone. It is a chilly 43 degrees and partly sunny here in upstate New York. So where do we leave off on Friday? We titled the show Genome Digital Rights Management, Bionic Plants, and DARPA Insect Allies. And yeah, these were some crazy programs that are being launched over the next few months. The Genome Digital Rights Management, I think we're going to get into a little bit today. That is a DARPA program to be able to lock down our genome in case any foreign actors intentionally or accidentally, or any of our little bio labs that are springing up all over the country, accidentally let something out that could splice and dice your genome in ways that may not be advantageous to you. Now, one of the things we looked at was how they have been able to take technologies today and roll them into being able to manipulate life on the basic building block level. We saw two stories last week about the spinach plant. And, you know, if they could do it to spinach, they could probably do it to just about anything else. They've already been messing around with tobacco plants and forcing them to suck up some sort of serum that then makes genetic modifications that then allows them to pump out antibodies, antigens, to be able to produce vaccines with. Well, now they're going to turn spinach plants into sensors. These bionic plants can detect explosives, and they're using these little carbon nanotubules and nanoparticles to turn green material into objects that can be utilized and send Wi-Fi signals. Yes, I said it. Send Wi-Fi signals back to some sort of mobile device. It's absolutely insane, but it gets even worse than that, because then we read about right at the end of the show Friday, and I think this is where we're going to kick it off. DARPA now looking at genetically modifying or infecting, I believe is the way they talked about it here, infecting insects with bacteria or viruses or whatever they want. Who knows? This hasn't happened yet, but there is a proposer's day on its way. They want to be able to utilize insects. And it really makes me think of our history of entomological warfare. There was a lot of that that had gone on at Plum Island and Fort Detrick, Maryland, where they have been manipulating insects for a long time to be able to deliver payloads to enemies. That's what frightens me about this, because those programs never ended. And here we are now finding ways to create armies of small creatures that can be sent out en masse to go, in this case, genetically modify crops. But hey, from a warfare perspective, they could be infected with something that can be passed to humans. I mean, take a look at Lyme disease. Typically, in entomological warfare, they use things such as mosquitoes. Oops, hey, look, we got Zika flying around. That we want to do all kinds of crazy stuff now to the mosquitoes and mess around with what? Oh, yes, bacteria, Wolbachia, specifically in the mosquitoes, to prevent them from doing things such as reproducing. But they have utilized in the past mosquitoes, fleas, ticks. You know, we have this bed bug epidemic going on right now across the United States. And I was reading not too long ago that they are talking about now genetically modifying bed bugs, all in the name of being able to snuff them out, running a gene drive so they can modify an entire population. And gene drive technology happens to be an investment of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Guys, what is happening right now is beyond anybody's most horrifying nightmare. For, like I've said this a million times before, for all of the millions of possibilities that my brain has been able to spin through as I've been obsessed with science fiction for a large part of my growing up life, I never in my wildest dreams saw anything as crazy as what is on the table right now and very, very possible with the technology that we have today. We have little Johnny CRISPR splicing and dicing genomes in mommy's back bedroom, and it's been democratized across the planet, that added gene sending out 60,000 copies, those copies of the CRISPR bacterium. And I think in a lot of cases they're using E. coli. Can be copied very easily without any lostness. It is a pretty scary thought, because now all of a sudden Clapper comes out and says, oh my goodness, gene editing is a weapon of mass destruction. Our enemies could be gene editing anything, whether it be a virus, a bacteria, or, oops, an insect, and launching them as an offensive against us. So, hey, don't worry about it, because now we need to maintain a defensive posture and create our own nightmares. But don't worry, because DARPA won't make you scared. DARPA's going to tell you that it is all for your well-being. It's to save our crops. It's to immunize our crops against dangers, because that is another thing that entomological warfare and biological warfare, especially at Fort Detrick and Plum Island, were used for. That was what Dr. Huber had spent some of his career working with the alphabet agencies on, was protecting our food supply, our agricultural breadbasket from biological diseases, whether it be for our crops or our animals. So let's read this. We read this on Friday. We're going to read it again just to kick this off. DARPA enlists insects to protect agricultural food supply and commodity crops. New program aims for insect delivery of protective genes to modify mature plants within a single growing season. So don't worry, we don't have to take seeds and genetically modify them anymore in the lab and then plant them in the field. No, we can do it already on mature crops, mature plants, and just use insects that have been infected. It may not be obvious to humans, but the life of a plant is full of peril. Viruses, pests, fungi, herbicides, drought, pollution, salinity, flooding, and frost, the plants that we depend upon for food, clean air, and materials are challenged by a myriad of threats, natural and man-made, and by extension, human populations, ding, are then put at risk when our food security is challenged. Yes. You know, genetically modified crops are going to cure our overpopulation and climate change problem. Wink. So just go back to sleep. Don't pay attention to what we are proposing here. And I mean, I just couldn't even believe this when I was reading it. Farmers and others responsible for plant health use long-standing tools such as crop rotation, selective breeding, pesticides, slash and burn clearing, quarantining to plant shelters, and defend against the worst effects of pathogens, pests, and environmental insults. But these methods can be slow, inefficient, and damaging to the environment, and may require extensive and expensive infrastructure. And while scientists and farmers are increasingly turning to molecular techniques, what does that mean? To improve resilience in plant varieties, and I'm assuming that means GMO, today's genomic tools generally do not allow for alteration of mature plants. And no, they don't. You get a seed, you plant that seed, and you get to keep what is grown. Well, no longer. A new DARPA program is poised to provide an alternative to traditional agricultural threat response using targeted gene therapies, just like they are proposing with CRISPRing humans. That first experiment in the United States, set to kick off in December of 2016, using a targeted gene therapy to protect mature plants within a single growing season. Now, again, we have talked about antiviruses and that Cyber Grand Challenge of a protection mechanism for the Internet of Things that will be shape-shifting and can modify itself on the fly in regards to any potential incoming dangers. They have also been working on a shape-shifting immune system for humans that would be, again, a genetic therapy that on the fly would be able to mutate and respond to pathogens known and unknown. Well, it sounds like we're going to do the same for plants and be able to modify a mature plant that has been infected to change its genetic makeup so it can protect itself. A new DARPA program is poised to provide an alternative to traditional agricultural threat response using targeted gene therapy to protect mature plants within a single growing season. And DARPA proposes to leverage a natural, so they're going to get around GMO labelings is what the word natural in a sentence means, and a very efficient two-step delivery system to transfer modified genes to plants, insect vectors, and plant viruses that they transmit. And in the process, DARPA aims to transform certain insect pests into insect allies, quote unquote, the name of their new effort. Insects eat plants and insects transmit the majority of plant viruses, says Blake Beckstein, a DARPA program manager for insect allies. DARPA plans to harness the power of this natural system, insects eating plants and insects transmitting viruses, to engineer genes inside of plant viruses that then can be transmitted by insects to confer protective traits to the target plant that they feed upon. Insect allies, three technical areas: trait design, insect vector optimization, and selective gene therapies in mature plants layered together to support the goal of rapidly transforming mature plants to protect against natural or intentional agricultural disruption without the need for extensive infrastructure. No, just a big box of bugs. This is just so unbelievable. The foundational knowledge and generalizable tools developed under this program could also support future agricultural innovation. So once we create it, we can use it for all kinds of interesting things. Worldwide, rice, wheat, soybeans, tomatoes, corn, sugarcane, potatoes, fresh vegetables, grapes, respectively, were considered the most valuable crops in 2012, according to data from the United Nations Food and Agricultural Organization. And in the United States, the most valuable crops were corn, soybeans, wheat, cotton, almonds, tomatoes, grapes, potatoes, rice, strawberries, lettuce / chicory, and apples, respectively. And New York State is one of the biggest apple producers in the United States, by the way. Disruptions to production of stable crops such as rice, wheat, and corn could particularly jeopardize food security and destabilize agricultural economies. It's all in the name of keeping you safe. One of the most effective existing methods for protecting plants, which is selective breeding of disease resistance, typically involves 5 to 7 years of work to identify the relevant protective genes, and then another 10 years or more to propagate that desired trait through plant populations. Insect Allies aims to affect the expression of these desired traits within a single growing season. Performers will be challenged, and this is performers, people who will be bidding on this project, will be challenged to develop compatible systems of naturally occurring plant viruses, herbivorous insects, and target crops, and then genetically tune these systems to maximize transmission and uptake of the traits across an entire target plant population. Are you hearing this? With zero transmission to non-target plants. Yes, way said, easier said than done, I could assure you. So they want to do something that sounds very similar to gene driving technology. And I have a couple gene drive articles up here. One we read before about what they're doing with the mosquitoes with the money from Bill and Melinda Gates. And one about some of the ethics now that are involved. And some guy at MIT, probably the lone dude, standing up going, whoa, back up the truck, Chuck. Gene drives are dangerous. They are apocalyptic. They can take a mistake. Whoops. And pass it through an entire population of living organism in one generation. That sounds like exactly what they are proposing here. Quote, genetic modification of plants has historically been done only to plant embryos inside of the laboratories of tissue cultures, says Bechstein. Transforming mature plants en masse would be an enormous achievement, yes, or the beginning of the end, and pave the way for future breakthroughs in agriculture. Insect allies will emphasize biosafety and biosecurity. Of course it will. And we have so much trust in that, considering what we have seen in the past with these faux pas in these not only level 4 biosafety units with anthrax and smallpox sitting out for years on top of a filing cabinet or in unlocked closets, but also in all these biolabs right now, some of the stuff that's going on, we even find out that bacteria from the microbiome is contagious, yet we don't see any of these scientists in any of these labs, in any of these photographs, for any of these genomic discoveries looking like they have any type of biosuits on, short of some lateral gloves. Anyway, all work will be conducted inside of closed laboratories, greenhouses, or other secured facilities. DARPA will host a Proposers Day this month on November 18th, 2016. That's about 11 days from now. At the Executive Conference Center in Arlington, Virginia, to further clarify the vision and answer questions from potential proposers. There is a webcast option for the proposer day. Advanced registration is required. I wonder if they'd let us register. Additional details are provided in a special notice, and full program details, including instructions for submitting a proposal, are available in a broad agency announcement. And actually pulled up that page. Insect allies on fedbizops.gov. Told you all the DARPA stuff is out there. This was added November 1st, 2016. The Insect Allies program will develop a platform technology for delivering enhanced crop traits within a single growing season by delivering a modified virus to target plants by a mobile insect vector. Now, I just can't even get over how unbelievably scary this is. They are taking the weaponization of insects that started way back when, and we're going to spin it out to the 21st century. I'm going to go to Wikipedia for a second, refresh our memories. Entomological warfare. Entomological warfare is a type of biological warfare that utilizes insects to attack the enemy. The concept has already existed for centuries, and research and development have continued into the modern era. Entomological warfare has been used in battle by Japan, and we have talked about that unit before. That is Unit 731. That's where they did all the human experimentation and went over there and garnered a lot of their research data after World War II and brought it back with scientists from Operation Paperclip in Germany to Plum Island and Fort Detrick, Maryland's research. Entomological warfare has been used in battle by Japan, and several other nations have developed and been accused of using an entomological warfare program. Now, you know, as part of that biological and chemical warfare ending pact, and I never remember what it is called, but we've talked about it a whole bunch of times. That was the one that Nixon finally inked back in 1972, that we declared that we were still going to maintain a defensive posture by creating vaccines to protect against a lot of the potential of attack from rogue nations or foreign actors. That has allowed us to still continue this mad science gone mad, genomic and biological research behind closed doors down long dark hallways without having a public scrutiny. But it's all come out now. Precision medicine has become the mainstream for the 21st century. It is the new economic engine. According to Obama, we have an executive order. We have all the puzzle pieces in place now between electronic medical health records and the National Institute of Health DNA database. They are collecting by you checking that box, going to 23andMe or Connect My Genome. We'll talk about that. There's a sale on $29.95. They hit a price point. Take a swab of your cheek and send it in and find out if you are related to Queen Elizabeth. $29.95 to get into the database and become a part of research. It's absolutely insane. But all this stuff has spun up to exactly where we are now, and our biological warfare program never ended. So back to Wikipedia description. Entomological warfare is a specific type of biological warfare that uses insects in a direct attack or as vectors to deliver a biological agent such as plague or cholera. And they have discovered that the plague, the original plague back in the Middle Ages, they think was spread by fleas or ticks carried on the rats. Essentially, entomological warfare exists in three varieties. One type involves infecting insects with a pathogen and then dispersing those insects over a targeted area. Ding, ding, ding. Does that not sound like DARPA's Insect Allies program? Because I would say it most certainly does. The insects then act as a vector, infecting any person or animal they may bite, or in DARPA's case, crop. Another type of entomological warfare, oh, here we go, is a direct insect attack against crops. And the insect may not be infected with any pathogen, but instead represents a threat to agriculture. Oh, so maybe we've taken it one more step. We've combined step one and two. And the final method of entomological warfare is to use uninfected insects such as bees to directly attack the enemy. Well, I would have to say that they got way creative on this now, because we're going to take infected insects, and they're not proposing right now to infect people. They're going to infect crops. They're going to do it in a benevolent way, because, of course, DARPA always creates stuff that is for the goodness of mankind and not for the war machine. DARPA is a part of the Department of Defense, so it is all about warfare and killing. Where are we going to go? 14th century, of course. The plague epidemic in Asia Minor that eventually became known as the Black Death was carried by fleas, and that is one such event that has drawn attention from historians as a possible early incident of entomological warfare. Bring out your dead. It's Monty Python. That plague spread over Europe and may have been the result of a biological attack of the Crimean city of Kaffa. During the American Civil War, the Confederacy accused the Union of purposefully producing the Harlequin bug in the South. These accusations were never proven, and modern research has shown that it's more than likely that the insect arrived by other means. But the world did not experience large-scale entomological warfare until World War II, where the Japanese attacks in China were only verified instances of entomological warfare during the war. Let's go down to what the Japanese did. Japanese used entomological warfare at a large scale during World War II in China. Unit 731, ding ding, mad science gone mad, Department of Japan. Their infamous biological warfare unit, led by Lieutenant General Shiro Ishii, used plague-infected fleas and flies covered with cholera to infect the population of China. The Japanese military dispersed the insects by spraying them from low-flying airplanes and then dropping bombs filled with a mixture of insects and disease. Localized and deadly epidemics resulted in nearly 500,000 Chinese dying of disease. And an international symposium of historians declared that Japanese entomological warfare in China was responsible for 440,000. In 1989, a British study of Unit 731 strongly supported the theory of the United States and Japanese biological warfare culpability in Korea, because I guess we were accused. Chinese experts doggedly insist today that biological weapons created in an American-Japanese collaboration were used in the Korean War. And in the UK, British scientists suggest that Britain and Germany were both vulnerable to entomological attack via the Colorado potato beetle. And in 1942, the United States shipped 15,000 Colorado potato beetles to Britain to study for use as a weapon. And then it went through the Cold War, etc., etc. But of course, the Biological and Toxic Weapons Convention of 1972, and that is the one that was inked by Nixon, and here we go, does not specifically mention insect vectors as being banned in its text. The language of the treaty, however, does cover vectors. Article 1 bans, quote, weapons, equipment, or means of delivery designed to use such agents or toxins for hostile purposes or in an armed conflict. So, of course, they are developing these insect allies, like I said, to be beneficial as a protection mechanism for our crops. But remember, there's always a double-edged sword. Just like CRISPR could be a curing disease machine. Georgie Church himself said CRISPR was a killing machine when they first invented it, because all it did was unzip. So it would appear that due to the text of the Biological and Toxic Weapons Convention of 1972, that insect vectors as an aspect of entomological warfare are covered and outlawed by the convention. But the issue is less clear when warfare with uninfected insects against crops are considered. So I just wanted to hit a little bit of history there before we got into this insect ally program overview that is posted on fedbizops.gov. Proposers to insect allies. And this will be on November 18th, 11 days from now, are expected to develop a system that utilizes naturally occurring plant viruses to deliver genes which confer new traits to mature crop plants. DARPA strongly encourages teaming to ensure the expertise and capabilities necessary to meet program goals. And that means, you know, there's going to be a bunch of companies working in a collaboration. They will do that for very large projects on federal RFPs. The Insect Allies program will create vector-mediated mature plant modification technologies, and I am sure companies such as Monsanto Bayer are probably rubbing their grubby hands together, because how amazing would that be? They won't even need any upfront costs. They could sell bugs to go out and genetically modify the plants on the fly. 1-800-FIX-MY-CROP, and we will dispatch them overnight to your crops without you even having to do anything via an unmanned aerial drone, Mr. Farmer. The Insect Allies program will create vector-mediated mature plant modification technologies to rapidly counter environmental and biological threats to crop plants. Threats of interest might include pathogens, pests, drought, and salinity, and the high specificity of genetic modification coupled with quick plant gene uptake will allow crops to be protected within the same growing season. The Insect Allies program's three technical areas will be pursued concurrently over three consecutive phases lasting 12, 16, and 18 months respectively. And technical area one will be to develop a plant virus that delivers a transgene to a target plant species. Technical area two will produce insect vectors for the modified virus to be transmitted to mature plants. And technical area three is the successful introduction of a functional trait to the mature plant. So first, we're going to develop a modified plant virus. Second, we are going to infect insects with that modified plant virus. And third, we are going to take those infected insects and set them loose on a crop to have them infect the crop with their genetically modified virus. I just don't, within 18 months, no less, I don't even know how to express my fear and alarm over what they are proposing. I mean, these things could go awry. How are we going to control bugs that have been infected with some sort of super CRISPR, who knows what, that are sent out specifically to eat crops? Performer teams will be required to give end-of-phase demonstrations. Oh no, they're going to have to do a live demo to evaluate the successful integration of these technical areas. Phase one demonstration will deliver a single transgene through an insect-transmitted virus, creating novel gene expression in individual mature crop plants. Phase two demonstration will deliver multiple genes via insect vectors to multiple mature plants. And phase three demonstration will modify mature plants in a single, large-scale, multi-species plant community. So not just corn, not just soybeans. Nope, we're going to go for a bunch of them all at once and see how much damage we can do. All end-of-phase demonstrations are expected to be conducted in an appropriate enclosed greenhouse facility. Not level four, no. Just an enclosed greenhouse out in the middle of Timbuktu, kind of like they showed on the X-Files in the 90s. I can't even believe that they are considering doing this. You know, they have a lot of those facilities already in Research Triangle Park where they have been messing around with the bees. We talked about that a long time ago. It really makes you wonder what kind of biosecurity they have, especially now when we're talking about things as small as a tick or a flea or a beetle. It's just unbelievable. All it's going to take is one. And when they create these transgenic viruses that then are used to infect insects, will that insect be able to pass that virus to another insect of its kind? Because I know that Wolbachia bacteria that they've been messing around with is part of some of these population suppression experiments that they're doing on mosquitoes, all in the name of Zika, some of which Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation are funding. These gene drives really makes you wonder how far these viruses will be able to spread. And another question is whether or not they could spread to humans. Each established team should aim to target a single crop type in a category of sustenance, perennial or annual. And interested attendees are invited to present a brief one slide PowerPoint summary of their interests and capabilities. Gee, one slide really gives them a lot of time to make sure that they're even qualified to propose. These will be presented during a three-minute lightning presentation at Proposer's Day. So it sounds like DARPA is really freaking concerned about biosafety and who the hell is proposing. Presentations consisting of multiple slides will not be granted a time slot. And attendees may also choose to present a poster describing their research interests that will be available for viewing and interaction during the duration of the Proposer's Day. Lightning talk or poster submissions will be accepted on a first-come, first-come basis until time constraints and physical capacity is reached. Blah, blah, blah. We are limiting it to the first 100 registrants, and we are charging a $15 fee. So there you have it, people. They are going to be modifying bacteria or viruses to infect insects to then go genetically modify crops on the fly. And all you have to do, attendance is open to individuals who are U.S. citizens, U.S. permanent residents, or foreign nationals. And upon entry to the physical meeting, all attendees are required to present valid government-issued photo identification. For all registrants who are not U.S. citizens, you must submit and complete a DARPA Form 60 no later than Monday, November 14th. I wonder if that means we can webcast. There's only 500 participants, but it doesn't say you have to show ID. I don't know. I might actually try to sign up for that. I will put the link to this DARPA Insect Ally Proposer Day into the chat if anybody cares, and I will put it into the notes for the show. So then we covered another story on Friday. DARPA has another program that they have announced. This is called Safety Break for Gene Editing. DARPA has proposed a new program to encourage safety breaks for gene editing. October 5th, this is a month ago, 2016. Drugs that use molecular scissors to snip out or replace defective genes or altered mosquitoes meant to sabotage entire disease-carrying populations. Both are potential uses of genome editing, which thanks to CRISPR-Cas9, Georgie Church, and Jennifer Doudna, has spread throughout the world's biology labs because it has been democratized. And now it has been deemed a weapon of mass destruction, and it is on the doorstep of the outside world. But with its first applications, could also come some unintended consequences for human health and the environment. Sting. They think they know so much. They reach to become gods. And we find out, whoops, we really have no freaking clue as to what we are doing. The U.S. Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, more affectionately known as DARPA, wants to finance safety measures for the new gene editing age. Welcome to the 21st century, people. The idea for funding the program called Safe Genes is to get out ahead of the problems that could bring the field to a screeching halt. We should couple innovation with, biosecurity. Have we not been saying that all along? Says DARPA program manager Renee Witzgren on Tuesday at the Synbio Beta Conference in South San Francisco. We need new safety measures, she says, that don't slow us down. Yeah, unlike that pesky FDA. And you have brakes in your car so that you can't go fast. You can go fast, but you can stop when you need to. Safe Genes is meant to fund three particular areas of research. Techniques that allow gene editors to be switched off and then back on again once inside of a person or an organism. Now, remember, DARPA is the same agency that is working on the shape-shifting immune system for humans, the targeted gene therapy. And what happens if it goes awry? We're going to see. I wanted to find that story. Maybe I can get back there. Maybe we'll hit that up again tomorrow. So, you know, thank goodness, phew, that DARPA is coming up with a way to put the brakes on live gene editing of humans or organisms such as insects in the Insect Allies program. Also, the development of drugs and other agents to block or to reduce the action of gene editors would be another way that we could fund some research to stop this, or tools to then clean up environmental genomic quote-unquote spills or bad accidents. And if the Manhattan Project is any type of indication of the way this is going to be left, as they eventually get off this rock and we have been turned into the planet of Dr. Moreau, we should be scared, very, very scared. So we could use some genetic tools to clean up environmental genomic spills and leave things the way they were before. These will all be big tasks, says MIT researcher Kevin Esfeldt, who is vocal about the dangers of gene editing moving too fast and in secrecy. Ding. Kevin Esfeldt is on our side. I actually have a whole article about Kevin Esfeldt, and I don't know if we're going to get to Kevin today, but we're going to talk about Kevin this week because Kevin is probably one of the lone scientists that I've seen that are standing up going, guys, this is not a good idea. We are trying to become gods, and we don't even know what we are messing with yet. We don't know how these off-target genetic changes that we're discovering now as we're CRISPRing things. Whoops, CRISPR isn't very specific. Don't worry about it. On Friday, we read about some new genetic modification technique that's even better at genetically modifying than CRISPR is, and we'll be able to splice and dice blood and do all kinds of things. But all this stuff is happening in secret labs. Remember, even Georgie Church held that creating the synthetic human genome meeting at Harvard in secret with 150 scientists, and then turned around a few days later and said, oh yeah, we decided we will be creating the synthetic human genome. I mean, I don't know about you, but I didn't get to vote on it. I didn't have anything to say about it. And if you would ask me, I would have told you that it is a really bad idea. According to Kevin Esfeldt, the one single MIT researcher who's vocal about the dangers of gene editing, moving too fast and moving in secrecy. Quote, no current CRISPR-Cas9 based system can return the population to its original baseline state the way that they are requesting. He praised DARPA for looking to fund, quote, safety first, ding, except they're not, because the genie's already out of the bottle. This is kind of an afterthought. But funding, this is what he says, quote, safety first, rather than jumping to fund unsafe work with only a handful of potential applications. But how could he say that? Because they've already been funding unsafe work without breaks on the project. Esfelt co-authored a Nature paper last year. And you know, I mean, DARPA, I found stories back to 1997 that we were going to look at today that showed that DARPA's already been messing with this stuff for already almost two decades. So I don't know who can say that they've discovered they're working on putting the brakes on before this ever got started. Esfelt co-authored a Nature paper last year describing new safety guidelines for scientists who are exploring a controversial technique called gene drives. We've mentioned that, discussed that before, which introduces DNA modifications that quickly spread throughout a population of fast-breeding organisms like mice or mosquitoes. This Nature paper also described a way to reverse a gene drive in a yeast population, yeast being one of the simplest organisms. But DARPA did not fund the work, which is the only effort of its kind, which that should be frightening in and of itself. Safe Gene, the program, was announced last month, and the funding pool is undisclosed. But Witzgrin told X Economy, which is this publication that did the interview, that it is similar to other DARPA programs, which range anywhere from $50 to $100 million. The final total will depend in part upon the quality of proposals that come in. The agency wants to fund a project for 4 years to the point that they can be handed off to investors. Like we said, that's the way it happens. We use taxpayer-funded dollars to sprinkle to an organization or a university or some secret lab somewhere, and then we spin it off to an IPO so it could be privatized and then made public to make a bazillion dollars to the point that it could be handed off to investors or other government agencies. And the first round of pitches are due this week, which was the first week of October. Witzgrin expects to announce the first grants in late spring or early summer of 2017. Megan Palmer, a fellow and biosecurity researcher at Stanford University Center for International Security and Cooperation, hoped that DARPA's program would encourage a more holistic approach to biosafety in a growing field where many people, such as software engineers, remember Burgett and merging of biology and technology, where software engineers might not have thought much about biosafety and security risks. Well, my thoughts exactly there, Megan Palmer. DARPA is saying that you cannot retrofit biosafety into existing technology. You have to design it, not just into widgets and technologies, but into the institutions that are supporting these technologies. At this conference, Supervisory Special Agent FBI Ed Yu told the audience that the Bureau is aware of the need for new biosecurity measures. What have I been saying all along? When we've been looking at all this technology, I've been saying there are no biosecurity measures, guys. They've been doing this all on a wing and a prayer, trying to get themselves published. Mad science gone mad. Here's $50 million to create some new aberration in a petri dish and see what you could do with it. except nobody has been paying attention to the potential calamity that could happen if any of this stuff got out. FBI Supervisory Special Agent Ed Yu told the audience that the Bureau is aware of the need for new biosecurity measures. Quote, traditional conversations about biosecurity, i.e., dangerous bacteria and viruses, don't work in this space, he said. He works in the Bureau's weapon of mass destruction, directorate. How to address emerging applications that don't deal with pathogens is a key question, he said. We have a window of opportunity to start incorporating security measures on the front end. And one kind of gene editor called Zinc Fingers has already begun tests in humans as a treatment for HIV infection. But this decade's frenzied development of editing CRISPR-Cas9 could soon bring a wave of human therapies into clinical trials. Adidas Medicine, and that is the one that Jennifer Doudna is a part of, as well as IntelliTherapeutics, CRISPR Therapeutics, and their high-profile development partners are all developing medicines that use CRISPR-Cas9 to fix genetic defects. Before they can test their products in humans, they will have to show regulators that CRISPR-Cas9 scissors don't cut a patient's DNA in the wrong places. Well, we found out on Friday that, whoops, there are issues with proper targeting. Or if that they do, the risk to the patient is outweighed by the potential benefit. Yeah, just like any medication, of course. And Adidas, which could be the first group to begin human studies, wants to start a trial for a rare eye disease in 2017. Yeah, well, there's also the one sitting at Penn U that wants to do three different kinds of genetic editing for cancers, and they are awaiting final approval, and that was slated for December of 2016. Some academic researchers and biotech firms are building safety nets into their cutting-edge therapies, genetically engineered T cells, and this is the one at Penn U, that are infused into a patient so they can multiply and attack cancer, do pose a risk of attacking healthy cells or causing other dangerous side effects. One idea not yet tested in humans is to add suicide genes to the T cells. Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. And if they go awry, whoops, they could be killed by giving the patient a pill. But killing T cells running amok in a patient is different than blocking or reversing genetic modification that has begun to run its course and genetically modify the patient. There is nothing specific out there to shut down a gene editor. I mean, people, this is real technology that they are messing with in the lab right now that they are already talking about unleashing on biology on the planet, whether it be human or plant. Now, let's take a look, because we already had some things that were happening back in 1997. There was a story that came out of Science, which is one of the industry publications where people publish their research. And this is in the archive, so unless I pay for it, I can't get the whole text, but I can get the summary. It is from February 7th, 1997. Too radical for the National Institute of Health. Well, why don't you try DARPA? Alarmed by evidence that terrorists might exploit biological weapons. Remember, this is 1997. The Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, best known as the originators of the internet, is moving into biology with some serious money, and they are looking for some innovative proposals. So that was in 1997. They had already started on some of their biological innovation. Back in 2011, DARPA then announced that they are building their first bioengineering factory. The Defense Advanced Research Project Agency is the driving force behind a new effort to harness biology as a manufacturing platform. And, you know, we looked at a whole bunch of things where they were even talking about manufacturing structures such as homes that would be made out of living material that could sense the environment. Well, they've gone way, way, way beyond that. The objective of this new manufacturing platform is a biological design process that enables point-of-use, on-demand, mass customization of biological manufacturing. And this new program is called Living Factories. And they will enable on-demand manufacturing capabilities for producing advanced materials, devices, and capabilities. Earlier this week, DARPA's Microsystem Technology Office announced new efforts to establish game-changing manufacturing systems for the U.S. Department of Defense. And I dug way into this Microsystems Technology Office. This is all kinds of crazy stuff for warfare. Today, bioengineering typically relies on labor-intensive trial-and-error process to develop new designs. And this approach combines with the complexity of biological systems, restricts current one-off efforts to modify only a small set of genes, and constructing simple isolated genetic circuits and metabolic pathways. But as a result, production of bioengineered chemicals, materials, and living systems is limited to time-consuming and resource-intensive processes. But by transforming biology into an engineering practice, decoupling design from manufacturing and fabrication, and speeding the biological design, build, and test cycle, DARPA is now looking for proposals to tackle this problem. It is more specifically, Living Foundries will facilitate the development of modular genetic parts that allow us to design cell-like systems. All right, guys, have an awesome Monday, and I will catch up with you tomorrow. Everybody, take care.